Well, I don't need to inform you, you probably know this already, but we live in a broken world. Because of sin, we find brokenness all around us, and we see it everywhere in our society, in our culture, business, government, education, even in the church. And it also exists among individuals that we would kind of say maybe would be of a noble conduct, judges, lawyers, politicians, law enforcement officials, medical practitioners, military leaders, religious leaders, and teachers, and more. No level of our society or occupation is exempt from brokenness, and we even see it in our own lives. Now, I like to watch home renovation TV, and beachfront bargain hunt, flip or flop, house hunters, renovations, Music City Fix, Vintage Flip, Desert Flippers. Now, there's a couple of them I really don't like. I'll be honest with you today. I don't like Love It or List It. I'm sorry. It annoys me. I won't say that. But anyhow, and then Brother versus Brother. I mean, that's just like, that show just gets on my nerves. I can't watch. But my wife says to me, why do you like watching those TV shows? When I watch it, I look around the house and I think about everything we got to do. And I'm thinking, I'm just trying to get some good ideas, you know. But I do like it. And my favorite is The Fixer Upper, of course. And this was before I knew Chip and Joanne Gaines were Christians. I just love the show. I love how they would transform a home, take a home that's beat up and kind of in shape of a dump and make it into something beautiful. And I loved how they did that. They renovate homes down in the Waco, Texas area. And so each episode, they help a buyer find a home in a neighborhood they like, and with the money they have left over at the purchase price, they make a design and do it. What I really appreciate about it is that they take something that's very personal or a situation that's happening in the person's life, the buyer's life, and they design something in the house or bring something in that is a memento of that event. And I love the reveal. You know, they got the two big, the big picture, and they stand out in front of the house, and of course the new buyers don't know what the new house looks like, and then they pull this back, and I just love watching their response to that and stand there in awe and realize how beautiful it is. So they see beauty in things that are broken and run down. They see the potential in things and they're able to transform them into something of beauty. And it reminds me that the Lord sees and uses our brokenness in our lives, in the lives of those around us, to bring out beauty and wholeness. So I've titled my message this morning, From Brokenness to Wholeness. And I believe that we really see three types of brokenness in Scripture. So we're going to take a little journey to this morning through God's Word. And the first area that I see brokenness in is brokenness through circumstances. When we have those events in life or situations that come up that cause us pain and discouragement, and this can come in many forms. It can come a loss of someone close, childhood experiences, parental divorce, illness, things like that, that just in some ways bring brokenness into our lives. It's those circumstances that you've done nothing to create it or bring it on. It's just events that take place and happen to us, or maybe that others have brought on us. It brings brokenness into our lives. And there's those sitting here this morning, and you really don't have to think too hard about some of the brokenness that you've experienced in your lives. It just seems like it comes to the surface. And sometimes when we experience these circumstantial situations, we begin to question, you know, what have I done? Why is this happening to me? You know, and things like that. And so I want to take a look at a story in John chapter 9 that I think really kind of gives us an idea of what this circumstantial brokenness is about. John chapter 9, verses 1 through 3 and verses 6 and 7. This is a story out of the life of Jesus. As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, it was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. And then we go down to verse 6 and 7. It says, having said these things, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes and said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. And he went and came back seeing. What an awesome story. What a miracle. Now, this man experienced circumstantial brokenness. And the question came up, well, who's done something wrong here? Has he done something wrong? Is it his parents? Why is his blindness on him? And we know that his blindness had broken him to some degree. He couldn't work. He was a beggar. That's how he supported himself. And so when the question came up, whose fault is this? Jesus answers and says, it wasn't his fault and it wasn't his parents' fault, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. There was a purpose in all this. And I realized this morning that God wants to heal our brokenness. Those things that have come into our lives, those circumstantial things that have created brokenness, so he can receive glory today. Now, this man didn't have a choice about his circumstances, but he had a choice about his outcome. So when Jesus meets him and he takes a little bit of dirt and some saliva, he makes a little mud patty, puts it on his eyes, and he says to the man, go and wash. He had a choice at that moment, whether he was going to continue in his blindness or he was going to reach out and see what happened here. And so we know from the story that he goes down and he washes and he gets his sight. And I think the same is true for you and I. We can remain in our brokenness or we can choose wholeness. Then we see brokenness through our choices or our sins. There are those who have experienced brokenness by the choices they made or the sins they've willingly involved themselves in. Now, here's where it gets a little difficult. Because sometimes we have circumstantial brokenness in our lives. And we don't deal with it. We don't allow God to heal us. And then we start out living a life of making bad choices. Okay? And what we do is we further the brokenness that's happened in our lives. We compound that brokenness. We create situations that cause us to continue to feel broken. And sometimes we forget what the original brokenness was. Now we're caught up in something else. But brokenness by choice or sin. And the story that I kind of selected for this is one that we're very familiar with. It's a story out of King David's life. A man that had a heart after God, God's own heart. But he made some really bad choices and really bad decisions. You can read the full account of that in 2 Samuel chapter 11. But we know or are familiar with the story. He sinned with Bathsheba. And Bathsheba's husband Uriah was away at battle fighting for Israel. And David wanted to cover his sin. So he has Uriah come home, figuring he'll come home and he'll go be with his wife and then nobody will know what happened. But Uriah was such an honorable man and such a dedicated soldier that the Bible tells us he slept outside the king's door. And then the second night, when King David finds out about this, the Bible says he got him drunk. He figures now he'll go home, you know? But he didn't. And so David's in a dilemma now. How is he going to cover this situation in his life? So he gives Uriah a letter, sealed letter. Take it back to your commanding officer. And really, that letter was kind of his death wish. All right? And the letter said that he was to be placed in the fiercest part of the battle, knowing that he probably would lose his life. And that word comes back that that's exactly what happened. Out of this story, out of the brokenness that David has created in his own life. We have a record in Psalm 51. We see David as reaches a place where he's broken before God. He's broken over his own sin, and he expresses that in this psalm. And I just want to read the first 12 chapters of this verse because it's a prayer of repentance and restoration. It says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin are ever before you. Against you only you have I sinned and done evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth in the inner being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sin and blot out my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. And as we read through that, we can see, and we know it was a process that brought David to this point, but we can see that now he's ready to deal with the brokenness and take responsibility, and he knows the extent of that because he feels it deep inside of him. And because of his repentance, we know the Lord restores him. Just as God's grace and his love and forgiveness were overflowing to King David, we can experience that same restoration from this type of brokenness. And I want to say to you this morning, if you're under the weight of brokenness because of bad choices or sins that you've committed, God is waiting for you to come. And you can experience the restoration and forgiveness that God offers. He can take our brokenness and turn it into wholeness. Now, there are consequences sometimes from decisions we make and things we do, but you know, God will help us through all of that too. Next thing I see in Scripture is brokenness through empathy. Now, sympathy and empathy are kind of used interchangeable, but they're really, really completely, not completely, but somewhat different. Sympathy is caring and understanding and the suffering of others. In other words, I care so much about that person that I understand what they're going through, but empathy is the ability to experience and feel the pain that that other person feels. And I think a great example of this is found in John chapter 11. One of Jesus' dear friends, Lazarus, has died. And Lazarus' death was really no surprise to Jesus, and Jesus knew he was going to raise him from the dead. Yet in verses 33 through 35, the Bible tells us that Jesus, who was completely God and all-powerful, experienced brokenness because of the people around him were broken. Verse 33 starts and says, when Jesus saw her weeping, that's Mary, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? They said to him, come and see. And the Bible says Jesus wept. Jesus was able to identify with the loss that they felt. And sometimes we have family situations or friends or coworkers, or even sometimes you meet a stranger that we encounter that they face tremendous devastation in their lives. And we're compelled to brokenness through empathy. And walking through such hard times with people and their brokenness can be heavy and difficult. I gave the illustration in first service, and I said I wasn't going to say it in second service because my wife is here, but she's a very empathetic person. She can really identify, and she really feels sometimes what people go through. And it gets so bad that sometimes we're watching a TV show, she's laughing now, and it gets to that point. You know, the music starts changing, and you know something's coming up. She changes the channel. I'm like, what are you doing? She don't want to know. She'll go back to it later after it's all over. Then you don't know what the story, what happened. But she's able to identify with people's, what they're going through. But this kind of brokenness can bring us to a place of really vulnerability and transformation in God. Our empathy towards others can help us bring healing and restoration in their lives. So we see that there's circumstantial brokenness, brokenness by choices and sin, and brokenness by empathy. I think we can all agree on one thought this morning, that brokenness hurts. There's no doubt about it. Brokenness can make you feel alone and make you feel isolated. And what we do is we begin to search for answers. We begin to ask those questions like, why is this happening? And why is it happening to me? And to be honest with you, I've met people that, man, they suffer tremendous brokenness in their lives. And then they look at someone else that we feel like, we think like, they would deserve that, you know? I mean, I'm just being honest this morning. Don't we sometimes look at people and say, that should have happened to them, not to this person, all right? But brokenness can make us feel isolated, certainly, and alone. And brokenness can take many forms. It can include insignificance, emptiness, excessive anxiety, bitterness, depression, addictions, persistent shame, obsessive thoughts, compulsive behaviors, and even perfectionism. And because brokenness hurts, people attempt to overcome pain by, they fill their lives with substitutes. And these substitutes can include alcohol, drugs, sex, material things, wrong relationships, even work. I mean, you know, if we can numb the pain, if we can put ourselves in a situation where we don't have to deal with the brokenness, then we try to fill our lives with that, those other things. And usually people hope to avoid the pain by doing this, but most of these substitutes only increase the feelings of brokenness, hopelessness, and lead certainly to lower self-esteem. And we attempt to lift ourselves out of brokenness, and we can't do it ourselves. The only way we can become whole is turning to God. Because if we attempt to do it on our own, we're going to fail. Now, we may be able to make some improvements in our life and maybe live a little bit differently, but complete wholeness is not possible. We must turn to our Creator and ask Him for help. And He alone has all the answers and the complete answers and healing that we need. So brokenness does hurt. What are some of the benefits of brokenness? I see that brokenness produces fruit or new life. John 12:24 says, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it die, it brings forth much fruit. So that seed, that outer part of that seed has to die and be broken. And that new seed that is buried, transformation takes place. A new life comes out of that. It's a process of giving life. Another benefit I see from brokenness, it releases a fragrance of love. In Mark chapter 14, Jesus is in Bethany. He's at the house of Simon. And while he's there eating, a woman comes, and she comes with an alabaster box full of very expensive perfume. Now, that box would have been made of like a slate-type stone, and it would have been a wax seal that would have kept that box and kept that expensive perfume contained. But it says in the scriptures that she broke the box on Jesus' head. I mean, she didn't hit him in the head with it. She broke the seal. All right? And then it goes on to say that as she poured it over Jesus' head, and then as she began to weep on his feet and dry his feet with her hair. Now, we know from this story in the account of Luke that this woman was broken. She had experienced brokenness in life. The Bible says she had lived a sinful life. But she came to worship her Savior, the one who had met her in her brokenness, in her broken condition. And I think that box for her kind of represents her broken life. And the fragrance that was released was that new life that Jesus had given her. He had healed her, and she had found new life in Christ. Then I see another benefit is brokenness allows for multiplication. In Matthew chapter 14 and 15, we have an account of Jesus feeding, and in Matthew 14 to 4,000, and Matthew 15 to 5,000. And both these passages state that Jesus took the loaves and the fish, he blessed them and broke them, and he gave it to his disciples to distribute to the crowd. The bread was broken, but it was going to lead to multiplication. Matthew 15, 36 says, he took the 7 loaves and the fish, and having given thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds. Matthew 14 says, everyone ate and was satisfied. And when they collected everything that was left over at the end, it was 12 baskets full. In Matthew 15, when they collected, it was 7 baskets full. No matter what Jesus does, he always brings multiplication in a situation. He always brings increase. I mean, you look at the life of Jesus on the cross as he was broken, yet new life came out of that. I mean, just the fact that while he was hanging on the cross, one of the thieves found his place in paradise. And we see that brokenness brings new life. And it brings multiplication. So whenever we experience brokenness, God's grace will sustain us and mature us. He will show us how to relinquish, and this is really important, our reliance on earthly forms of security, and teach us how to rest on his provision, his healing, and his love. See, what we have a tendency to do is to reach out for something that we think is going to help us and something that's going to bring the help that we need. But those things are nothing in comparison to what Jesus can do. And so wholeness is what we want. We want to be whole in body, soul, and spirit, but we can't be whole on our own. That's why that series that Pastor Tony just preached on the blood of Jesus is so important and significant, that we would come to the realization of what Christ really has done on the cross. And to overcome brokenness, we realize that we have to be healed by a power that's greater than ourselves. We may not choose our brokenness, but we can choose whether we keep it or get healed from it. And Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, it says, "A thief comes to steal, only to steal and kill and destroy." Now, those words certainly sound like brokenness to me. But Jesus says, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Now, this abundant life does not insulate us or shield us from hurts and brokenness in life, but it will help us get through the dark times and give us victory. If you don't remember anything that I said previously or after this, just remember this one thought, one verse. It's found in Psalm 147:3, and it says, "He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds." He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. The Lord has one goal in mind for your brokenness and my brokenness. It's spiritual victory. And so we can be confident that Jesus Christ can take our brokenness and turn it into strength, hope, and honor. I want to look at five ways that God uses and blesses our brokenness. First of all, I see that God draws you to himself. Psalm 34:18 says, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." When you often experience brokenness, you feel like God could be a million miles away. Where is he? Why isn't he here? But what you feel and what's real are two different things. God is not a million miles away. In fact, he's never been closer. God wants to come alongside us in our brokenness. God draws us to himself. Then I see that God hurts with you. In Isaiah 53, verse 3, it's a prophetic scripture concerning Jesus and his life and ministry. And he says he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Jesus knows the pain of brokenness. And when you come to Jesus with your brokenness, he knows exactly what you're talking about and understands your pain. I see in scripture that God is a suffering God and he's a sympathetic God. He can identify with us. The third thing I see that is God gives us a church family for support. We're meant to heal in community. Healing comes in groups. Healing comes in church. Healing comes in community because we're better together. Now, I know there's some of you that could be sitting here this morning. You said, you know, some of the brokenness I've experienced has been as a result of church life. It's unfortunate that you've experienced that. That's not what God intended. God intends church to be a place of healing and support. In Romans 12:5, it says, "So we, though many are one in one body and individually members of one another." Verse 10, it says, "Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor." Verse 15 says, "Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep." God intends that we be healed in community. This has got to be a place of healing. I also see that God uses brokenness to help us grow. God uses brokenness and pain to help us become more like Jesus. God is committed to bringing us to a place of wholeness and spiritual maturity, and God is committed to finishing the work that he starts in our lives. Romans 8:29 says that we're to be conformed to the likeness of his son. There's many verses, Ephesians 1, Ephesians 3, Colossians 1, talk about being transformed into the image of Christ. Brokenness helps us grow. It brings maturity in our lives. And the last thing I see is God uses our brokenness and pain to help others. I call this redemptive pain. Even though it's painful, what God wants to do is he wants to take that and redeem that and begin to use that in other people's lives. God doesn't want us to waste the hurt. 1 Corinthians 1, 3 and 4 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in affliction with the comfort with we ourselves are comforted by God." God wants to comfort us and allow us to take the comfort that we've received in those situations and begin to comfort others through that. When people have experienced brokenness, I find that they often minister much more effectively because they can identify with that. They can understand those that are hurting. Those are some ways that God wants to use brokenness in our lives. Now, God doesn't want us to remain in a broken state. He wants to heal us. And if you're sitting there this morning and, you know, you say, "Well, I can identify with that. I feel like, you know, I've been broken in different ways." I just want to remind you that God wants to come alongside you and bring healing and strength and hope out of your brokenness. I just want to say, if you're a young person here this morning or young adult and you've experienced brokenness in your life, I want to encourage you to deal with that, because if you don't, sometimes what happens is that becomes a pattern. And you can go 10, 20, 30 years. You can talk to people that have just not resolved the brokenness, and it's compounded in their lives and more difficult to deal with. And I want to encourage you to let God bring the wholeness that he purposes to. Beethoven was one of the greatest composers that ever lived. And at 31 years old, he began to go deaf, and 16 years later, he was totally deaf. And it was very discouraging to him. If you read some of his writings and what he penned, I mean, depression was something that he dealt with because of this. But he wouldn't give up. He felt called to his art, to produce his art, and even as his prison of silence kind of grew more grim and quieter, he had this inner ear. He was able to understand what the instrument was supposed to play and what it sounded like. He remembered that. And so some of his greatest works were written when he was totally deaf. And he said that in the midst of his affliction, "There's no greater joy for me than to pursue and produce my art. Oh, if only I were rid of this affliction, I would embrace the world. But I seize it by the throat. Most assuredly, it shall not get me wholly down." And the story is told of many times Beethoven would be writing music, and the story is told about there was one situation where he was playing a violin. Violin was broken and out of tune. He didn't know what it sounded like, but he knew what it was supposed to sound like. And it was very difficult for the people around to listen to that out-of-tune instrument. But what he heard was what the instrument was supposed to play. That's why I have the violin up here this morning. Because you know what? In our brokenness, when God looks at us, he sees us as whole. He paid the price for our brokenness. And so we can respond to him. Maybe we feel out of tune and broken today, but we can respond to him in praise, because that's what it's supposed to sound like. And I want to encourage you that you know, in your brokenness, if this message has spoken to you in any way, I just want you to say, God, take the brokenness that I've experienced and bring the wholeness that you purpose in my life, and watch what God can do. Let's pray together. God, this morning we thank you and praise you for your great faithfulness. I thank you for your commitment to us, your great love that you showed to us on the cross. And God, we thank you that we can come as broken people and you're committed to making us whole. So Lord, we ask you to take the brokenness in our lives and bring about the life and the fruit and the fragrance of love. And God, that our lives would make a difference to those around us, that you would take our brokenness and use it to reach others. Strengthen and bless your people today. In Jesus' name, amen.